Jack Lauren, the albino teenager, caught Ryan's look. He tried to brush the thick dust from his mane of pure white hair.
Fuck without dish.
We'd have been in serious trouble if it had run away with the spoon, wouldn't we?
What spoon?
Christy Roth's grin broadened.
Didn't anyone ever teach you nursery rhymes when you were young, Jack? Mother Sonia taught me that poem when I was a young girl in Harmonyville.
Was never young.
I recall it. The dish running off with a spoon, and the cat playing upon a violin, and a heifer leaping across the lunar landscape. A diminutive canine that found the entire subject ripe for considerable merriment. Ha ha, yes. I do remember it well, Christy.
Doc Tanner was, in some ways, the oldest member of the group of friends. He was born Theophilus Algernon Tanner in South Stratford, Vermont, on February 14, 1868, and married Emily Chandler on June 17, 1891. They had two children, Rachel and Julian. In November of 1896, Doc Tanner was trawled forward as part of an experiment in time travel, Operation Cerberus, which was itself a key segment of the totality concept. The efforts to use gateways for cron jumps were horrendously and cruelly unsuccessful. Their targets included a leading judge and a famous writer, each of whom vanished in mysterious circumstances. Subjects, Crater and Beers, as they were known on the files of Cerberus, failed to make it to the 20th century. Though Doc's brains were sometimes a little scrambled, he arrived safely in 1998. But he didn't prove to be a sufficiently docile guinea pig for the scientists. Eventually, to remove the disruptive Victorian, they sent him forward, pushing him nearly 100 years into the future. There, after some peculiarly unpleasant adventures, Doc was rescued by Ryan Cotter, and had been traveling with them ever since. He looked to be close to 70, with straggling silver hair and a lined face, and wore the same old-fashioned clothes that he'd been wearing when trawled. Ryan and Christy had once tried to work out with Doc just how old he really was. By one count, he was only in his mid-30s, about the same age as Ryan and JB. By another count, he was somewhere around 220 years old.
Not surprising, my mind becomes somewhat addled at times.
North? Looks like some more mountains. But the land should get greener up to the north.
East's acid lagoons and swamps. And east's what was home.
South.
Why, lover? South looks like a lot more heat and sand.
Remember what Rick said about there being two cryocenters that he knew about, Christy?
One was where you defrosted me.
Right. And the other was supposed to be someplace in the south of Texas near the Grandee. Rick called it Big Bend.
I know something about Big Bend. When I was living in the 1990s, I read an article by Galadriel Oakey, a reporter. She was a great one for what was called backpacking. She visited Big Bend several times and said it was one of the quietest of the national parks.
South Texas, Doc?
Indeed, my dear Ryan, indeed. I recall that it took its nomenclature from the large loop of the Rio Grande, what you now call the Grandee. She also was much incensed when the government took over some of the parks in the 90s and closed them for purposes of national security.
Including Big Bend, Doc?
I believe so. Yes, I'm sure. Miss Oakey wrote an article for the Washington Post on the subject. Save Big Mac. No, Big Bend. It did scant good, I fear.
It fits. Want to go freezy hunting again, Ryan?
Why not, JB? Mildred worked out well, didn't she? Could strike lucky again.
Ryan was conscious that his itch to talk to survivors from the past wasn't logical, but it still nagged at him in the waking hours of the night to wonder why a civilized and reasonably affluent world would allow itself to be blown apart. Maybe someone somewhere would one day be able to provide the answer. Mildred was running her fingers through the tiny, tight plaits on the top of her head.
Glad you think I worked out well, Ryan. Thanks, man. Praise indeed. Maybe next semester I'll even get a higher grade from you.
Sorry, Mildred, you know what I mean. Just seems that if we aren't that far off from Big Bend, we should go down and take a look. Anyone else got any feelings on it?
Jack was occupied with picking up small pebbles, flicking them in the air, and jabbing at them with the hardened edge of his palm. He caught Ryan's question and glanced sideways, shrugging his shoulders.
Don't give a fuck. They're same as here.
Guess Jack's right. Long as we can get food and drink, I'll go along to Big Bend with everyone else. I like the sound of the name.
I was going to the store for cigarettes, but I'll go to Big Bend.
In some ways, I'd kind of like to go back home to Lincoln, Nebraska. But everyone's long, long dead. Children of friends are dead, grandchildren gone. Cemeteries brimming with the descendants of folks I knew. No. Never can go home like that. Sure, I'll go to Big Bend, Ryan. Thaw out a freezy and I'll have someone who can talk to me about television, books, stuff like that.
Mildred grinned up at Ryan, but he could also see tears brimming in her dark eyes. JB was the only one who didn't answer.
We got 5 votes. Want to make it 6, JB?
No.
Ryan was surprised. He and the armorer had known each other for so long, from the early days with the trader, that their judgment on situations was almost always the same. The others waited for JB to expand on his decision. He brushed a small, buzzing insect away from his lips before speaking.
Little food and water. Doesn't look much in that direction. Christy, you got the best eyes of any of us. You see anything?
Christy hopped agilely onto a large crimson boulder, its bright color almost identical to her fiery mane of hair. She shaded her eyes and stared across the wilderness, concentrating for a very long time before jumping down again.
Dust. Could be the wind, but it doesn't look like it. More like animals, maybe horses. And I thought I saw a building close by, but can't be sure. It's a long ways off.
But there's something.
Ryan shaded his good eye with his hand and looked into the distance. Though he prided himself on his keen sight, it was nothing compared to Christie's.
Yeah, something.
JB wasn't convinced.
Gotta be close to 300 miles, Ryan. No wags to hitch along on, no cattle to butcher, no crystal streams to wet your lips at.
300. Phew. Well, we'll move mainly in the dark, and there must be water along the blacktops. Soon as we find a blacktop, that is, it'll take us 10 days to 2 weeks on foot. I just can't believe we won't find people and transport somewhere.
The armorer nodded.
Could be you're right. Then we'd be fine. Then again, could be you're wrong. Still, I heard say that getting chilled from heat and thirst wasn't the worst way to go.
A half hour later, the 6 friends began to walk south. The red counter faded into a steady green once they were a couple of miles away from the ruins of the redoubt. The sun burned down from the sky that was tinted the palest of pinks in the far west, and a fiery orange in the east. Once or twice they heard the distant rumble of thunder from a chemstorm over the hills off to the north. Mildred paused to lever a pebble from her white sneakers.
This has got to be way over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
We're losing body moisture at close on a pint every hour. That's a medical fact.
Uh-uh. Not sweating.
Wrong, Jack. In such dry heat, the sweat's evaporating the moment it gets on the outside. It feels like you aren't sweating. That's the danger. If you dehydrate, your mind goes, and it takes your body down the line with it.
The building you thought you saw, Christy. It should mean water.
In his heart, Ryan had a nagging doubt that they'd taken the wrong option by heading south. But when you made a plan, you stuck to it, unless there was some big reason to change. The trader always used to tell him that.
Maybe not. This trail's taking us down into dead ground. Can't make anything out from down here.
The land was barren, apart from small clusters of the delicate purple prickle-leaf gilia, its beauty almost unbelievable in the dusty heat. JB brought up the rear. In the hour or so that they'd been slogging south, he hadn't uttered a single word. Ryan fell back to join him, allowing Jack to take the point position.
How's it going?
Warm.
You think we've made a wrong move?
The armorer turned to face him, the sunlight dancing off the lenses of his glasses.
Yeah, could be. Then again, it could be we've made the right move. Hell, you think I'm sulking back here?
No.
Thought you knew me better than that, friend. No. It's just that talking costs, and it's too hot to spend words.
The faint trail started to wind its way upward again. Christy was out in front, and she beckoned to the others.
Small spread down yonder. It's the one I saw way back.
Best get low, babe. Don't know what kind of folks there are there.
The red-headed woman nodded and crouched. Ryan knew from experience that her flaming hair could be seen from miles off, particularly if the sun happened to catch it. One by one, the rest of the group joined her, with Doc struggling up last. JB pointed to the right, where an undulating ribbon of ancient blacktop rolled and pitched toward the south.
There's a road.
Are there any horses?
Yeah, and the place has a well and a vegetable garden to the side. Looks like a real neat place.
Nobody's moving.
Ryan scanned the land, looking for a trace of movement. In this kind of desert, it would be hard to move around without leaving a telltale pillar of orange dust behind.
Huh?
Ryan was conscious of a faint, high-pitched hum somewhere behind them in high